In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to talk about the movie The Kings of Summer. Time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and...
general banter.
In theatres.
Online streaming.
Fail.
We almost got through it.
You did. I'll do it properly. Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter. In theatres, on DVD, online streaming or... oh my god, I tripped up too.
It's jinxed.
Online streaming or in the back of an airplane, if you love the movies, the show is for you. That was a terrible intro. What the hell?
I know, we did it really well when we practiced before.
Yes, we should do it again.
If you can't do it on the night, it doesn't count.
Okay, let's start again. Movie Wallers is your weekly...
oh my word.
Oh my god.
We'll have to try.
You start, Yazdi.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose
of film reviews, movie news, and general banter.
On DVD.
In theatres.
Or at the back of an airplane.
Online streaming.
Wow, you guys suck.
That's why we don't do it. Okay.
Oh my God.
Summer will be upon us before we do our review of The Kings of Summer.
Yes.
So you doing good, everyone?
Doing good.
Yes, well fed and content.
Indeed. LA Film Festival coming up.
Super excited.
Yes, next weekend.
Hopefully I'll get this podcast out sometime before LA Film Festival is over.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I know last year when we went, we had a really good time. The movies we saw were pretty fun.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners are in the LA area, LA Film Festival runs from begins this Thursday, which is June the 13th, I think, and runs all the way through to Sunday, June the 23rd, I believe.
Yes.
10 days of film watching, and most of the films are repeated. So if you're in the LA area and you want to come and meet your movie wallers, we will be there.
Yeah, how much are the tickets? They're like $13, I think.
I think they're regular priced, so yeah. It's the price of watching any other movie.
Yeah.
It's terrific, actually. And last year, I mean, the biggest films that came out of there were Queen of Versailles, Invisible War, saw a couple of other things that got releases.
Celeste and Jesse Forever.
That's yes. Right, yeah. So it tends to be a smaller indie-focused film festival, but, you know, go to the website, lafilmfest.com, and just take your pick. If you haven't been to a film festival before, it's so worthwhile to attend.
Absolutely, and the great thing is very often, at least for the initial screening of the movie, somebody related to the movie will show up. Like, the director might be there, or the actors might be there, and you get to... interact with them.
I think that's the thing that I found the most valuable. I think it's interesting that you get a sense of what was intended versus what you actually saw. And certainly I found that it enhanced my viewing experience. Yeah, it certainly enhanced my viewing experience of the films.
I mean, a lot of filmmakers just say it doesn't matter what I made of the movie, it's what you make of it when you see it. So But it really helps to, you know, to have the person who kind of was the parent of the movie be there in person and explain it to you.
It's like a perfect garnish to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love interacting with the filmmakers. I mean, everyone comes to, you know, it's funny, we review so many movies and you forget that each movie represents, you know, a huge work of passion by the people that made it. I mean, you know, you could argue that some of the Hollywood films that are kind of cranked out to a target audience for profit, you know, have a little less soul. But generally in the small indie movies, these are people who fought really hard to get financing for their film, to get their movie made and then to make it. So, you know, they've got a lot of heart in the film. And I love to see that.
I do too. And I love that, you know, they've invested so much and it's almost like watching their child graduate.
Yeah.
And they get so emotional and you can't help be emotional yourself watching them watch their movie being screened for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's a very special experience,
I think. I mean, even if the movie's less than perfect, I mean, it does actually take away some of my objectivity as a reviewer because, you know, I just love the passion that people bring to these projects. And at the end of the day, anyone that creates anything, I think, is to be respected. Mm-hmm. You know, good or bad in terms of how the movie came out, know, sometimes we're not always respectful of that as we review movies, but we're trying to let you know whether or not you should spend your hard-earned money to see it. But at film festivals, I think the vibe is a little different, and it's just a pleasure to be in company of these wonderfully artistic people.
And I think other people who love watching film, because generally, you know, I love that the fact that these are paying audiences in most cases. I mean, we're lucky, but I love that these are people who are so passionate about film. I mean, Yaz, you went to film festivals for years before we did Movie Wallahs, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love everything about it. I love standing in line while you're waiting to get into a movie and people talk about what movies they've just seen, which ones you should see, which one you should avoid. You kind of build these relationships with like-minded people who love movies.
Single line friends.
I love...
yeah, one of my favorite movies. Yes. Single surfing.
Yes. And I love, you know, the whole ritual of them, you know, bringing on whoever the director or the film stars are at the start of the movie, then the movie starts, at the end of the movie, bring him back, you do a Q&A. I love everything about it. And I wish people didn't think of film festivals as some stodgy, elite institution where, you know, people with top hats go and watch, you know, film festivals. I mean, it's a very interactive, very fun thing to do, and I hope if people have a mental block about film festivals that they break that block.
Yeah,
and
it's just a great start way attending. To spend a weekend, actually.
Yeah, or even a couple movies. Mm. You know?
And you must love movies if you're listening to Movie Wallahs, so check them out. June 13th to 23rd, if you're in the San Diego or LA area, do make the effort
at
to
LA
go.
Live.
Yes.
And the other, this is really nerdy, but one of my other favorite thing about most film festivals that we've been to is the sound and vision. Mm-hmm. They know that they're distributing, or rather they're displaying this person's work for the first time. It's almost always great sound and a great picture. I mean, they calibrate it, they show the movie as it is intended to be seen, because the makers are there and they want to do them proud.
Yeah, and a lot of those movies are looking for distribution.
Yeah, that's also true. It's a showcase.
It's a showcase, so they want their movie represented in the best possible way. So, I just wish I could share the experience with more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, for film festivals.
Yay, yes. So, let's move into our review for this show, and that's the movie The Kings of Summer.
Okay, and talking about film festivals, this one did actually premiere at the 2013 Sundance Film Festival, and people raved about it. So The Kings of Summer is a unique coming-of-age comedy about three teenage friends, Joe, Patrick, and the eccentric and unpredictable Biagio, who in the ultimate act of independence decide to spend their summer building a house in the woods and living off the land. Free from their parents' rules, their idyllic summer quickly becomes a test of friendship as each boy learns to appreciate the fact that family, whether it's the one that you're born into or the one that you create, is something you can't run away from. So this is directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts. I don't think I said his name right. And written by Chris Galletta. And stars Nick Robinson, Gabrielle Basso, Moses Arias, Nick Offerman, Alison Brie, and Megan Mullally, amongst many others. So, Yazdi, why don't you tell us what you thought of The Kings of Summer?
Yeah, so I read up a little bit about the movie before. I refused to watch trailers as much as possible, but I read up a little bit about the movie, and it seemed like the kind of film that I love to love. And, you know, so...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, it's the kind of
movie... Had Yazi written all over it.
Correct. And so, you know, I was prepped to accept this film with open arms. And so it came as a slight disappointment that this movie does not completely knock it out of the park. I wanted this movie to just completely blow me over, knock me out of the park, emotionally devastate me, just be unbearably cute. And it's all of those things, but in smaller doses. And I wish somehow... it had been heightened a little bit more than it was. But I have to say, at the end, the movie does bring everything nicely to a good finish, for me at least. So I recommend it. I just wish it had been a little bit better.
Mm. Joe, I'm sure you were a boy of summer when you were a young lad.
I mean, there were aspects of this that reminded me of childhood. And it's very much a coming-of-age tale. Mm-hmm. Boy trying to find his own identity, find some independence from his... father in this case, but I found this movie to be somewhat overbearingly sweet, and I think I wanted it to have a little bit more of an edge to it. I wanted maybe a few kind of darker undertones. Instead, this was just a very playful movie. I never felt invested in any of the characters. And so I watched this movie at a distance. Didn't say I hate it, but I just didn't connect with it in the way that I think it was assembled for me to connect with, if you know what I mean.
3 for 3, I'm going to say exactly the same thing. Sweet was the word that came to my mind as well. And I would say somewhat alternative coming-of-age movie that had some really, I would say, thoughtful and poignant moments, mm-hmm. and also some nice moments of humor. I think what it did capture well was the things that we fantasize when we're young. What would it be like if we ran away from home? But none of us really did that. But all in all, it never really amounted to more than average for me. I think this almost felt at times like a very poor distant cousin of Moonrise Kingdom. And I almost hate to use that film in the same sentence, but I got this sense of longing for it to be a little bit more like Moonrise Kingdom.
What, in what sense? Kind of in a stylistic sense or?
From a story perspective, and I think also from a stylistic perspective as well. Yeah, both.
It's weird because I think there are certain parts of the movie which completely strain credibility. The plot. I did not for a minute believe that these kids were able to build a house in the woods. Okay, and it's a cute little house. It's not perfect, but be that as it may, it's a house in the woods. Right. And I did not believe that, you know, they were actually capable of doing it. And, you know, even later on in the movie, there's some pretty big plot holes where if somebody just said something, a lot of things would be resolved. So it's weird that part is kind of weak. But what I really liked is what you referred to, Rashmi, is that the movie is actually particularly strong in displaying these relationships between the people. So there are four friends, you know, who together build this, or three friends who together build this house. And there's the girl that, you know, one of them is in love with, the main guy. And I think the whole relationship between the thing, you know, when you're a teenager and you're growing up and you're in love with someone, or you think you're in love with someone, and if that love is not reciprocated, it's the end of the world for you. You know, the little slights mean the whole world when you're a teenager. Yeah. I think the movie kind of brought that point home really well. I truly liked the relationship, you know, how the two best friends kind of broke up. Mm-hmm. That seemed very real to me, maybe because it maybe resonated with things that had happened to me in my own childhood. So I like that the movie is very good with its relationships. Mm-hmm. And I wish that would have been the thrust of the movie instead of, you know, this whole thing about them building a house in the woods. And I also found, if I may say one other thing, I also found the ending of the movie a little bit too dramatized. I wish it just kind of went into this strange, strange land. And I don't want
to... Yeah, almost Mud-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say more. But I think for me, I had two issues with it. One was I couldn't think of the word, so I called it hypersensitized directing. Overcooked directing, where the wings of a butterfly flapping are slowed down, or something like a snail walking across a leaf is sped up. I just couldn't deal with that really stylized, overcooked directing. That was one thing that bugged me. And I think inherently the problem I had is this sold as a comedy, but it wasn't funny. It wasn't as funny as it needed to be. And then when it tried to be funny, those bits didn't come across as funny. And most of the humor, I think, they were trying to get from this very quippy dad. And Nick Offerman is very funny. But I just didn't buy that character. He was almost too quippy and weird for my liking. And certainly if you think your kid has run away or you think they've been kidnapped, yeah, the reactions didn't merit the reactions we got.
Right.
I mean, plausibility, I think, is overall where this movie suffers for me. Yeah, the relationships of the parents and what was the other kid's parents? Megan Mullally and
somebody else. Yeah.
I get that they were supposed to be the weird kind of uber hippie parents, but they didn't fit well with the tone of the movie. And I think that's ultimately what breaks this movie down for me, is that it had these weird little...
Quirks. Yeah.
In what is generally a somewhat serious narrative. I mean, serious in the sense of, you know, it's a drama. And so there's these dramatic moments, but then there's these really silly little comedic moments. And the tone then doesn't quite work. And the movie just unravels because of it. And that's not to say this is a bad movie. I'm saying all sorts of horrible things here. But you know, it was competently made, just it felt like a filmmaker's first film. And I think that's the case here, right? This is a Funny or Die
directors from the
Funny Die web series. And so, you know, now he's been given the opportunity to direct a full-length movie. You know, he's got a few tricks to learn, I think.
Yeah, good effort.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie it most reminded me of in terms of what it was trying to get at was Little Miss Sunshine. I think it was going for that kind of sensibility.
Right.
You know, quirky humor, which still has some underlying darkness to it.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite part of the movie, because again, you know, this isn't an awful movie. I think for me, Moses Arias, he was the third friend. So we have these two best friends and a sidekick. He was the sidekick. Biagio. I found the most delight in watching that character evolve. That's the one thing that I felt was consistently funny throughout the movie. But other than that, everything else was really hit and miss.
Even that character, some of his lines, I can see how they might look very good on paper, but they really didn't take off. I mean, he was too weird.
Right.
too off the wall. But yeah, I mean, but at least you were smiling the whole time you were watching.
And it was consistent. It was, you could tell that the character's motivation was consistent throughout the movie, at least.
I actually liked the other two guys as well. I think they were very good actors.
Yes,
and I think
agreed.
They played it well, for sure.
Yeah.
My one big pet peeve, and I seem to be doing this a lot lately, is I had a big problem with the name of the movie. Why is this called Kings of Summer? Again, it seems like somebody in marketing just said that would be a good name for this movie. I mean, I know in a peripheral way they are the Kings of the Summer, but it just seems like a cute title to give for the story. I wish they'd chosen a better title, but anyway, nobody's asking.
I think the title was probably the best thing about the movie. I mean, it has that big
draw.
It has that big dreamy feeling of, like, you know, bringing you back to childhood and, you know, remember the days when we had summers? I mean, you know, that's one of the things that sucks about being an adult. You don't get a summer off.
Or you can imagine when these guys are 40, they're like, oh, I remember when we were the kings of summer. I liked it.
But
sorry, Yaz, the outnumbered today.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay, anything else to say on this one? Okay, let's wrap it up. Joe, why don't you go first?
So, you know, I enjoyed this movie in the moment. It's not one that I would recommend you run out and see. I think certainly it's worth your time when it streams on Netflix. But, you know, don't run out and see this one unless you really, really like the look of it. Overall, I think the movie was well made. It's just a couple of plausibility points, some unevenness in tone let it down. So I'm going to give this a 6. Seems a little stingy, but that's where it's going to lie for me. 6 out of 10.
Yes, Dee.
So we already talked about, you know, the movie has a few problems in terms of the plot and plausibility and so forth. But I think for me, ultimately, what won me over is that it has a heart. And I actually, the very last few scenes of the movie actually did move me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's cliched. I know how it plays out, but it still worked for me. It was effective. And I think the movie means well. It captures, like, maybe not as successfully as Moonrise Kingdom, but it does capture that feeling of being young and every little thing being so larger than life. And it seems like the whole world is against you and you want to do something on your own. And that, I think, is difficult to do. So I say by all means, if you're at the back of an airplane and if it's an option, do see it. The movie has heart. So I give it 7 out of 10.
Okay. I think the theme of unrequited love and teenage angst is well captured in this movie. This isn't a total of waste of time, which I think both of you have said, but I just think it could have been way better. I was going to give it a stingy 5, but seeing how moved Yazdi is and how reminiscent, Joe, you are of your youth, I think I will give this a 6 for the impact it had on you guys.
Oh,
that's very nice of you.
Yes. How considerate.
Yes, I will be the princess of summer.
Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating aspect. I think we could all see what it was trying to be. And it's so frustrating because you know it could have been just a little better than it was.
Mm. But. Yeah.
All right. Well, mail at movieballers.com for comments. Twitter.com/movieballers as well. Facebook.com/movieballers2 if you have any comments. Just post them to Facebook or send us an email. Love to get some of your feedback. And I'd like to dedicate this episode of Movie Wireless to a good friend of mine, Pam, who recently passed away from breast cancer. Pam was one of our early Movie Wireless listeners.
And supporters.
Yeah, we didn't realize how much we both liked movies until I acknowledged one day during a work meeting that I was a Movie Waller. And so that struck up a lot of conversations. But Pam will always be remembered for setting up the Oscar pool in the office. She was a really good egg. She always printed out the Oscar ballots for everyone. She went around and collected a dollar for everyone. And then she always gave the money to another guy in the office, Barry, who would cheat and not give us his movie opinions, but he would look online at the most likely films to win. But nonetheless, it was a lot of fun.
Whatever it takes. I'm with Barry.
So, yeah, Pam, thinking of you. And
hope you're watching lots of movies wherever you are. Hope you're watching
us, yes, indeed, in heaven. Okay, until our next episode, it's Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.